New book out from Bloomberg called The Crisis of Crowding, written by Professor Ludwig Kinkerini. And the crisis of crowding is something, once you understand it, that you see time and again in the financial markets. The old what everybody knows isn't worth knowing also applies to when everybody knows it, everybody is there, it gets crowded, and then poof. Ludwig Kinkerini, by the way, is an associate professor of finance in the School of Management at the University of San Francisco. He's also a member of the Academic Council of Index IQ with over 15 years of experience in the financial industry, specializing in portfolio management, quantitative equity management, and derivatives. Ludwig is the co-author of a book called Quantitative Equity Portfolio Management. He received a PhD from MIT and his BA from the University of California at Berkeley. And this is a really interesting book called The Crisis of Crowding, Ludwig Kinkerini. Ludwig, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Let's give our audience an example of crowding. It happens with the stock market crash of 1987. That was an earlier example of crowding. There are many modern-day examples, but what happened there?
Oh, so in 87, a popular form of protection called portfolio insurance had emerged, whereby, you know, if I'm an everyday retail investor and I'm worried the market's going to crash, I pay someone to protect that for me. And there was a technique to do that that had been developed, and it's a great technique. It had one problem, though. If too many people started doing that, then it would actually cause the market to collapse if the market started falling. And so what we saw in 87 is that as many people started doing this portfolio insurance or protecting people's portfolios,
yeah,
when the market started going down, they would sell more, and the market kept going down and down and down and down, and there was this vicious cycle. And again, because there were too many people doing the same thing.
Is that still going on? Are too many people trying to provide portfolio insurance? Remember Yogi Berra, his prescient words, nobody comes to the ballpark anymore. It's too crowded.
Yeah, it's not the same as it was in 87, because so many people after that became worried about offering those type of products. Now, they're still offered today, but in different ways and in smaller amounts.
Now let's flash forward to the modern day, an example of the crisis of crowding, the title for the new book by Ludwig B. Kinkerini from Bloomberg here on Financial Wisdom. What's the most recent example? Would it be the European debt crisis maybe?
Yeah, we could, you know, that example is, there was crowding there. So let's look what happened over the last 10 years.
Okay.
So Greece joined the euro, as did many other countries, and you could argue, so, and if you look at Greece's debt, so Greek government debt compared to German government debt, they were trading about the same. So what was the crowd essentially saying? The crowd was saying, well, Greece, you know, we're going to buy Greek debt. It was paying slightly more. So we're going to buy Greek debt, even though the risk is way greater than the return, but we're all going to do that because we all want that little extra return. And you know what? Hopefully Europe will be bailed out. Greece will be bailed out if things go bad.
Yeah, a lot of big banks did that. J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of England, I think.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And so the crowd rushed into this instrument, and they essentially forced the yields to be unrealistically low. Greece was trading like Germany. And if you look at the structure of the economy and a lot of other things, that was just not correct.
Yeah. And so that was crowding. Everybody thought it was a worthwhile idea. How would the European community let Greece default? I mean, it's unthinkable for government debt to default. They all go in. The crowd gets, we have a crisis of crowding, as it were. And now we have the European debt crisis.
Right.
That debt in Greece hasn't actually defaulted yet, has it?
No, it hasn't, because of all these bailouts. You know, there's been the ECB, there's been the IMF. Lots of people giving money to Greece, new terms on the loans, writing down some of it. There have been some write-downs, but it's not an outright default. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Ludwig Kinkerini. Ludwig Kinkerini's new book from Bloomberg is called The Crisis of Crowding, Quant Copycats, Ugly Models, and the New Crash Normal. Ludwig Kinkerini here on the Gabriel Wisdom Show, Graham, on the Business Talk Radio Network. What about the Internet bubble back in 2000? Was that a crisis of crowding?
It was a crisis of crowding. It's not the the typical example, but it was in the sense, and I'm sure you remember it.
Sure.
Everyone, you know, you would get in a cab, and the cab driver would tell you what Internet stocks to buy.
Yeah.
And that was a sign that a lot of people were buying Internet stocks. And so, again, what was happening? The crowd funneled in. They pushed these securities to overvaluations. The risk models didn't account for the crowding and the overvaluation. And so we thought there wasn't a lot of risk. And then, boom, the NASDAQ dropped by 83%.
Hmm. Now, today you have some great companies, and it's always been great companies that get, you know, crazy valuations. But today it's Apple at a, what looks like a reasonable multiple of earnings. But at the same time, the crowd is in. Is it a crisis of crowding that's forming in Apple?
You know, I can't answer on Apple because I don't know. It's, you know, it needs a little more analysis. It is not the typical crowding case, so it's a little different. And Apple has also done very well. And, you know, in terms of products, and it continues to deliver on everything. So I wouldn't stick my neck out and say that's a crisis of crowding. I would, you know, it is very pricey. It's pricey, but again, you know, by some measures, maybe it could be higher. So I wouldn't call that a classic crisis of crowding.
There's an old saying that on Wall Street, whenever you think you've figured out the key to success, they change the locks. Is that what occurs in the crowding phenomena?
In some senses, yes. But it's not because anyone's changed the locks. But, you know, if you go back even to long-term capital, what happens is that, you know, you buy something that's really attractive, and as more and more people buy it, the expected return from that is so low.
Yeah.
And the risk is so high that, in a sense, the locks have been changed. So
okay, let's go back and talk about long-term capital management. It's been all but forgotten by today's generation. And even and most of us are pretty fuzzy on that crisis. It was in the late 90s, basically. But it all began, about in 1994? And what happened? I remember there were some Nobel Prize winners involved. Some very, very bright people involved in this. And then the Federal Reserve and major banks like Goldman and Morgan Stanley, Lehman Brothers and others had to ante up in order to save the system from having a 2008 financial crisis way back in 1997 or 98 or whatever it was.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's a great summary of it. The system was about to collapse in 98 for some similar reasons, illiquid assets, illiquid swaps, and even, you know, people forget this, but Lehman Brothers actually almost went bankrupt in 98. Their stock was down 60%, and, you know, Dick Fuld had to come out and say, we don't know why people are doing this, we don't understand it, but we hope it passes. So, you know, Lehman almost went bankrupt back then, but LTCM certainly was going to go bankrupt. And what happened there is, there are lots of things that happened, but one of the things that triggered everything was the Russian government defaulted on their debt.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a strive to grab liquid instruments like U.S. Treasuries, and long-term capitals had trades on where there were many people crowding the space.
Yeah.
And a lot of those institutions decided, let's get out of the space. And therefore, yeah.
No, there was one small exit, a lot of elephants looking at that little exit. Ludwig Kinkerini, The Crisis of Crowding, here on Financial Wisdom. The financial markets are dangerously overcrowded. Investors follow popular trends or latch onto profitable new strategies with herd-like single-mindedness and an increasingly globalized and interconnected world has only exacerbated the problem. That's the basic concept in the new book from Bloomberg called The Crisis of Crowding, Quant Copycats, Ugly Models, and the New Crash Normal. This all began, just in the last 25 years, or maybe it's been around even longer. We're joined by the author of The Crisis of Crowding, finance professor Ludwig Kinkerini. Ludwig Kinkerini is associate professor of finance in the School of Management at the University of San Francisco. And Ludwig has also been a director of research and innovator for RIDEX Global Advisors, Schroeder, and other institutions. He received his PhD from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Where is that?
That's in Cambridge.
Just kidding. I love that.
It's a small little school there.
I love that. Yeah. Is that near Harvard Dry Cleaners?
It is. It's right next door.
Yeah, because I bring my clothes there every once in a while. The Crisis of Crowding. So we must be seeing that quite a bit today. What about the financial crisis of 2008? Is that a classic crowding situation?
Yeah, there was the obvious crowding, which was the housing market. Everyone was crowding that, from homeowners to real estate agents, to banks, to commercial banks, investment banks. That was really a circle of greed just feeding that bubble. And that was a massive crowding. Within that massive crowding, there was also subtler crowding that took place in hedge fund trades and investment bank trades that were less common but are explained in the book, but were less known about. I mean, for example, one of the amazing things in 2008 that occurred is, if I asked you this following question, which is a better investment? An investment that only loses money when 100% of the U.S. companies fail, or one that loses money only when 10% fail? I think everyone would agree the one that has to wait till everyone fails is less risky.
Sure.
In 2008, that was not true according to the price movement. You lost more on the other one.
That's interesting. So it was all because too many participants were crowded in the derivative and mortgage, subprime mortgage area?
That's absolutely right. There were too many of certain types of investors in one area, and when things got bad, they ran. In other words, they sold their positions, and they caused the positions to move irrespective of value down.
There's a new study, from Helen Mies, who's an assistant economics professor at Tilburg University in the Netherlands. CNBC reported this just today, that China, not Wall Street, may have caused the 2008 crisis, because the Chinese, so many of them, hundreds of millions of them, were crowded into fixed income and pushed interest rates to these ridiculously low levels that we see today. They created cheap money, which fueled the U.S. housing bubble and its collapse. Is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard, or is it a crisis of crowding?
Everyone knows that did occur, that Chinese, but I really don't see that as a crisis of crowding. I see that more, there were lots of other things going on. We're well aware that Greenspan had lowered interest rates himself, so the Fed had lowered interest rates from about 6 to 1. So, and that was independent of the Chinese. So, everyone knows Chinese owned U.S. debt, but, I think it's a stretch to say it caused the crisis in America.
I thought so, too. But now we know from the man who wrote the book, The Crisis of Crowding, Ludwig B. Kinkerini, Crisis of Crowding, just published by Bloomberg Press, by the way, Dr. Kinkerini is here on the Gabriel Wisdom Show, Graham, on the Business Talk Radio Network. Remember the flash crash in 2010? We had a 600-point drop, and it happened in a flash. But then, it just seemed to go away. What was that, a crisis of crowding, and how did it occur?
Yeah, there was a little crowding there, but it wasn't a classic case of crisis crowding, but I still thought it was something very interesting in this sense, that what happened is this. You know, when we make trades as retail investors, we always rely that someone on the other side is buying or selling what we want to sell or buy. And what happened in an instant, you know, a period of a few minutes, everyone who typically buys and sells our stocks just decided to get out. And in that sense, it was a crowd rushing for the exits. And so what happened is there was no one to buy or sell our stocks. And some of us put in market orders and said, I'd like to buy Apple. You mentioned Apple earlier. And believe it or not, some people bought Apple at $100,000 a share in those few minutes. Because there was no one there to buy, and so the computer system.
Wow. I mean, this was back. This was the flash crash of 2010. Somebody paid $100,000 for one share of Apple.
That's right. Now, fortunately, afterwards, the self-regulating body canceled those trades. Okay, because they said this is unfair, this is wrong. But they actually did record a purchase for $100,000, and for other stocks like Accenture, there was even sales at a penny. So some people sold at a penny.
My gosh. And that was because of what, again?
So it was that all the market makers, the crowd, exited the space. So no one was there to buy or sell. But they have, according to regulations, they have to post a price at which they'll buy or sell. That's a regulation. Yeah. So what do they do in these circumstances when they run for the exits? They just put a really low price that they'll buy you from and a really high price they'll sell. And so basically it went on automatic.
Yeah. And there was your crisis of crowding. That's the name of the new book by Ludwig Kinkerini from Bloomberg. Ludwig, thanks so much for joining us and helping to clear all this up. The Crisis of Crowding, a fascinating book, I suggest.